One of my favorite pastimes is playing the piano. But I'm not the kind of guy that can just sit down and play by ear. I'm a note reader, and so I need to have a score in front of me. So this means the kind of music that I like to play the most, well, actually it's the only music I can play, is classical music. And one of the things that I love to do is I think, oh, I want to play this piece, but before even starting to play it, I'll go on to Spotify, and I'll listen to a great pianist to play this piece of music. And this then becomes an inspiration for me that, although I will never play it like that, I can, a little bit at a time, work on a movement, say, from a Mozart sonata, and I can make progress. And there's a great sense of satisfaction when I've worked on a piece for a while, and it sort of sounds like what I think Mozart intended it to sound like, as he had written that music in the mid to late 18th century. Well, as I was thinking about what it takes to kind of learn a musical score, there are three characteristics that a musician needs to have. He or she, first of all, needs to be obedient. Secondly, they need to be docile. And thirdly, they need to be resolute. Now, by obedience, I mean this, that the person who's playing the Mozart score has to play the notes that Mozart had written. Otherwise, you are not playing Mozart. Also, you need to be docile, and I find this really hard. I'm kind of stubborn. I'll keep kind of playing a particular run, but I don't follow the fingering that is in the score, and I continue to mess it up. But if I say, okay, I'm going to stop, slow down, and just work on this particular line, and I'm going to follow the fingering and the phrasing that is there, it actually works to my benefit. So there's a need for a kind of docility. And thirdly, you need to be resolute. I'm not the kind of person who can just sit down and look at a score and then just start to play it. It takes work, work, and more work. And without the resolve of character to stay with it, the beautiful piano that I have, and I'm gifted to have a Steinway, which is kind of like the Lexus of pianos, that it would just sit there and it would never be played. Well, I've taken time at the beginning of this homily to talk about musicianship because I think learning a musical score is a lot like being a Christian. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel that we are to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. This does not mean we are to be perfectionistic. Rather, it means that we are to continue to strive towards the goal of our life, to attain the purpose as to why God created us, and that is to be reflecting His image. And this is where the comparison with music comes into play. More often than not, I do not fully reproduce the intention of Mozart he had when he wrote his sonata in F major. I could listen to those musicians on Spotify, and I could conclude, forget it, I am never going to be able to play like that. Why bother? Let me shut the lid of the piano and let me never open it again. Or I can say, wow, that's what it's supposed to sound like. I'm going to continue to try to work towards that goal, even if I never completely attain it. And then there is that resolve to be obedient, to just keep on practicing our faith. We can become discouraged, say, darn, I keep bringing the same sins to confession. I guess I should just stop going to confession. No, keep going to confession and continue to work with resolution on those areas of vice in your life so that you can grow in virtue. And one of the beautiful things about the Catholic Church is the Catholic Church has left us with saints. And saints are kind of like concert pianists. They're those people who have embodied in their lives what it means to seek to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And we could read their examples and say, I'm never going to attain that, so why bother? Or we could say, I'm inspired by their example, and so I'm going to continue to persevere in growing in holiness. On this day, the church doesn't have us just think about one saint, one holy person. Today, the church invites us to think about the Holy Family. Now, will your family, and I happen to have a family, or my family, be like the Holy Family of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus? No, we will never attain to that degree of holiness in this life. Just like I will never play the piano like a great artist. But that is not to discourage us. This is to inspire us to see in their examples what it is to develop a familial character, an individual character, where we are growing in being obedient in our orientation toward that which is good. We're growing in being docile, in wanting to follow God's will, and we will be resolute and prompt in trying to grow in living our lives as holy people. I love the way our text from Luke points to the obedient orientation of the Holy Family. In verses 22 to 25, the following clauses are written by Luke. I just want to repeat them. According to the law of Moses, as it is written in the law of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord. I love this. Three times in these three verses, we understand the Holy Family's relationship to God's written word. They are obedient to the word of God. Not only do they present Jesus when he's 40 days old, we also know that when he's 12 years old, they have gone to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and as they are going back home, they realize Jesus is not with them, and when they eventually find him on the third day in the temple, and they ask him, "Son, do you not know that we were worried about you?" I love our Lord's answer as a preteen. "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Do you see expressed here Jesus' obedient orientation toward the Father? He learned that in his home. He learned that from Joseph. He learned that from Mary. It didn't just happen because he happens to be the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He grew up in a home environment where his mother modeled, "Be it unto me according to God's word." He knew that his father Joseph was a righteous man. And so here is Jesus, who recognizes that the greatest good is to know and to do the will of God. And this is something that we are invited to cultivate in our own lives. But not only is there this orientation toward the good that Jesus always showed, there is also a docility, an openness in the Lord to grow in wisdom. At the end of today's passage from Luke, he writes, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Now, please hear this next point. True strength in our lives is directly proportional to the character trait of docility. What does it mean to be docile? To be docile does not mean to be a wimp. What it means is to love the fear of God. And it says repeatedly in the Old Testament that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what we see with Jesus. He was a docile person. It's hard to imagine that the one who created the universe, who by his command brought planets into being, was willing to be obedient to Mary and Joseph. This was his docility. And when we grow in having a docile heart, what is its fruit? It is wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? To be wise is to live circumspectly and carefully, a quality that we see played out in the life of the Holy Family. So, obedience, docility, and thirdly, to be resolute. We read also in our passage from Luke, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." Now imagine, having heard the words of Simeon, having heard the words of Anna, who had been waiting in the temple for years and years for this day, Mary and Joseph could have thought, "We have a superstar. Wow, we have to do something extraordinary." But that's not what we read. We read that after they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. This is what's most important. That even after all that has been revealed to Mary and Joseph, they recognize that what they are to do is to cultivate their vocation as a family. So they return to their homes and they begin to live out the ordinary but holy life as they await the fulfillment of Simeon's words and Anna's words. And this, my friends, is at the very heart of what our lives are about as well. It takes resolve to be in a family. It takes day in, day out dedication to live with one another year in, year out. Again, I know. I live it day by day because of the particular gift I have as being a married priest. And one of the things that is just characteristic of what it means to be a holy family is it's through the routine experiences of sick children, the routine of meals, of extracurricular activities, of school mortgage payments, accepting the foibles of one's spouse, and being willing to admit one's own foibles. It is in this place, for most of us, that God calls us to grow in holiness, to grow into what Jesus said when he said we are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So, my beloved family, I want to encourage you on this Feast of the Holy Family to realize the vocation that you have is very ordinary, but it is very extraordinary. Because it is in your homes that you are to learn obedience. It is in your homes that you are to learn docility. It is in your homes that you are to learn the way of resolution. May we all in 2018 be resolved to cultivate holy families where we look to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, not only as our model, but as those who can encourage us to obediently love the good and the docility to grow in wisdom. I am discovering that when such character traits are applied to music, it allows for the harmonies of Mozart to emanate from my piano. These same traits enable families to live harmoniously and graciously. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, pray for our families that they will become ever more holy throughout the coming year.